This is Link Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Well, good afternoon. It is Dave, not quite by myself. Brent is actually off today. So joining us in the studio, you know her voice, and she's co-hosting today. Denise Nanke, welcome to the KYKN studios.
I am delighted to be here. Absolutely delighted to be here. It feels like old home week being back behind this mic. So yeah. Thanks for inviting me to come on and sub for Dave. For Brent.
Yeah. I need help when the mayor comes in.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And today is Tuesday, so we're welcoming back Salem Mayor Chuck Bennett. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
All right.
Denise, how are you?
I am well. It is
fantastic.
Really good to see you back here behind the mic here at KYKN.
I really enjoy it, and it's just a real delight to see you here as well.
Yeah. And Dave. Thanks so much. I appreciate that.
Hey, that's what we're here for.
All right. So every Tuesday we have the Salem mayor in here for kind of an update. What happened, Mayor, yesterday in the city council meeting?
Oh, golly. It actually was a fairly quick meeting. We were done by 7 o'clock.
What?
Wait.
Start at 6, done at 7.
You got done in an hour?
Yeah.
Is that a record, a new record?
I don't know if it's a record, but we're trying for it. I'm trying for it.
Well, sometimes these meetings can go on and on and on and on and on. Lately, they really have been going a little bit late into the evening.
Yeah, they can go for quite a while. Well, a couple of things came up I thought were particularly interesting. One, we got $73,000 donation from the Salem Parks Foundation, which is a kind of profit nonprofit,
right?
Organization that raises money for city parks. $73,000 to buy playground equipment for the McKay Park.
Oh, nice.
Out at kind of by McKay High School.
Yeah.
Been a lot of work going on out there. In fact, when I was a city councilor, part of my ward included McKay Park. We were going then working on some of the basics, getting the thing ready to go. And this really gets rid of some concrete elements and some things that are really unsafe and kind of old-fashioned for kids to play on, and really brings in new, bright-colored, modern playground equipment. It's a wonderful park and a great addition to that Northeast Salem community.
So no metal monkey bars or
the stuff that we played on and somehow survived.
Yeah, somehow with no helmet or anything like that.
I don't know. Well, kids are softer today.
Yeah.
So
they have extra padding on the ground.
Helmets.
Helmets for the playground?
Helmets? No, I'm kidding.
Wow.
Listen, I'm a guy who goes ice skating and busts his head open. So
oh, I'm laughing at
I
that.
Wear,
I
yeah, I know,
that,
really.
I know.
Thank you very much. I wear a helmet when I go downtown. I mean, that's a... Not really.
But no.
I could.
You could, yes.
So what else is going on? So $73,000, that's awesome to get that park up and running.
Oh, I thought it was just great. I was really excited about it. Most of the rest of it were appointments and kind of routine business. We did have one big land use issue out on Wiltsey Road that actually moved right on through. It's about 160-unit apartment complex going out there. And there was a lot of discussion, as there is, and I don't know if folks follow this closely, but on Salem land use issues, if there's a tree, there's a debate. If a tree's going to be removed, in this case, there were a lot of trees. And the developer had done some really excellent work saving them to the point that this proposal passed the council unanimously, despite some opposition out there. They really did some very creative work salvaging some of the trees.
So this they had to come in to get a variance then to put it in? Because normally they don't have to come. Not every development has to go before council.
No. A big one like this where they're looking for a variance or a conditions will often make it to council. They don't have to. In this case, the Councilor Leung called it up, which is essentially you see a land use issue coming through and you want to have a public hearing on it in front of the city council. And so we had a public hearing a couple weeks ago. The developer's representative said, hey, we can do some work on this site, and we think we can save all the trees you've talked about. They came very close. I think there's one oak tree that's still some question about because it's in the middle of a roundabout in the middle of this thing. And the question is, can the fire trucks maneuver this area? And if they can, the tree stays. If they can't and it has to be redesigned, the tree goes.
Well, I'm sure they can make the roundabout big enough for the fire truck to go through, right?
Well, it's not really. When you're putting that many units on that size of property, that's where...
How many units?
It's about 160 units. I can't remember off the top of my head.
He's that's lifting his glasses
units,
and checking.
I said. But it's... I just can't remember the acreage. It's a fairly condensed multifamily.
Yeah. We're just thinking,
package.
You know, with the homelessness issues that we're dealing with and lack of affordable housing and just lack of housing generally on the books in general to get these things moving through so more options for people.
Yeah, that's one of the council policies. And that's where these council policies and goals come into conflict with other policies and goals that might be more individualized. There may be councilors that sort of have a concern about growth, but we have a council policy that says we really do need to grow if we're going to meet our housing needs over the next 20 years. So sometimes they run into conflict. And I got to say, the council's been pretty good about following its own goals and policies. Okay. I think we'll have moments, I'm sure, of conflict that occur. But we are seeing record numbers of building permits being taken out. I mean, it is a boom year for growth in this community right now. A lot of new and different kinds of housing. I'm being contacted fairly regularly by nonprofit groups that are looking to put up well, I think last week I met with a group that is looking at homeless housing. There's another group that is looking at a fairly substantial low-income housing development here in town. And these are all in the tens, if not in excess of 100-unit areas. Plus, just market housing that's going on and coming online. So, and I think folks sometimes think all you can do to solve the housing crisis is create low-income housing. That's not really it.
No,
you need housing.
I was going to say it runs the gamut of all sort of socioeconomic spectrum there.
You need all categories.
Yeah,
and so we're working on it. I think fairly successfully that way. And there's a lot of business going on. We did have one close that caught my attention. I went downtown yesterday to have coffee. I was meeting someone at the Beanery. Beanery
what?
Had closed. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I did not know that.
I neither did I. I'm sure that.
Aren't they supposed to notify you?
Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah. Wow. Right. Do we know why?
I think there were, no.
No. Okay. Yeah.
I can speculate.
Let's sit here and speculate for the next 20 minutes. We don't know why.
No,
that's a shame. I'm sorry to hear that.
I was sorry to hear that too.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to have a little more with the mayor, Salem Mayor Chuck Bennett here on Newsmakers. I'm Dave Bourne along with Denise Nanke as she's filling in for Brent DeHart today. We'll have more on Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center. Welcome back to Newsmakers. Joining us is Salem Mayor Chuck Bennett for another segment, and Denise Nanke is co-hosting today in place of Brent.
Brent
DeHart.
Brent DeHart.
Yeah.
Yes.
Know that name. Live it well.
I do. Oh, I know it very well. I'm surprised I flubbed it at the beginning.
Yeah, not the first time.
Was that you that said Brett?
I said Dave.
Oh, Dave.
Yeah. I'm filling in for Dave. I mean, I'm looking at Dave as I said I'm filling in for Dave.
Well, you had me confused.
I know.
I'm Chuck.
Hi, Chuck.
Hey, Chuck, I wanted to circle back a little bit on the tree issue with new developments versus your own house. The city takes out old trees if they're sick, right? They tell you got to cut it down on your own property.
If you have a tree that is endangering all the trees in your neighborhood, mm-hmm. I believe they will if they cut it down. I'm not real familiar with the tree ordinance in terms of its specifics, but I think if you have a diseased tree, they will at least come around and talk to you about what's going on here.
But if you wanted to cut down a tree to do something on your yard, you're not allowed to. Is that right?
Well, it depends on the size of the tree. Probably the one that has been most in the news lately is a sequoia in front of one of those Sears houses, stone house over on Chemeketa.
Yeah.
But it's in a historic neighborhood, so it was dealt with by the Historic Landmarks Commission, and I'm not sure whether they applied the tree ordinance or a historic decision. So I just don't have the decision in front of me to see what they applied. But they did, and apparently were able to say, no, you can't cut the sequoia down.
So the homeowner was told, no, you can't, on your own property, cut the sequoia down.
Yeah, as I recall, at least reading the newspaper, suggested that the tree was really harming the building, which is a historic building.
Right, so he had grounds
for it.
A lot of
kind of odd conflicts there that I've not followed as closely, probably as I should. But sometime we'll talk about it again.
Interesting how far we've come to the city, you know, regulating what you can do in your own land.
Yeah, this was done about 15, 20 years ago.
It's been around a
long time.
Before that, you could, if it was harming the building, you just took it out.
If you thought it was ugly.
Yeah, if you thought
if
it was
you
ugly.
You wanted to make a Christmas tree out of it.
I grow them for that.
As far as I'm concerned, private property rights, you should be able to do that. I know it gets a little sticky with the historical, and people willingly list their homes as historical, that designation, because there's a tax benefit for that. Because you're not just automatically put, like, my house is 100 years old. I would have to sort of proactively go and say, I want to list my house this way.
I want to join this.
Which then gives me a whole new set of regulations and things that I have to abide by because I chose to do that.
And gives you a fairly substantial tax benefit.
So there's the trade-off there.
But I believe once registered, you're in. And then when you sell it, I buy it.
You're stuck with my designation and my choice.
I own your designation, and then I deal with those issues. That is a really interesting area, and I think at some point I'd really suggest having the city's preservation officer come on and talk about it, because it is it's one I don't think people often understand. We have some of these really beautiful old and specifically designated historic neighborhoods. But if you buy into them, and I know their houses go fairly fast when they go up for sale, you also bring yourself into a set of regulations that are pretty rigid and involve the type of windows, if you want to put on a porch, if
siding.
You'd like to have a garage, siding.
Sure.
It's really an interesting area, I think.
So as long as you keep the outside historic looking, you can modernize the inside, right?
I'm not sure.
I think you can.
And it's not just historic looking. It is historically accurate.
Because a lot of the homes, my home in particular, we have the old wavy glass, which we love the old wavy glass. Not really all that efficient. And so you want to put on outside storm windows, things like that. We are not historically designated, so we don't have to deal with that. But if you do choose to do that for the tax break, yes, you are setting yourself up for somebody else to tell you what you can and cannot do with your own property.
HOA.
Oh, they do. But people like that. I mean, people want that kind of neighborhood and have decided to become involved in that. But there are certain times, I haven't seen it lately, but it can once in a while come to the city council to kind of help sort out the disagreements that can occur over what's historically accurate and what's not.
Yeah, the sequoia is the perfect example.
It is
of
a
that,
very good.
You got a
it
lot
didn't
of different factions
us.
that are coming in.
Yeah, I guess. Last night we also did a couple of other things. One I really want to kind of highlight is we passed the recommendations of what was called the Congestion Relief Task Force. This is a group of counselors and staff I put together a year ago when I could see, quite honestly, we were going to have real problems moving forward with a third bridge. I mean, one of the things I know how to do is count votes.
That was a heavy sigh coming from over there.
And as usual,
it's a sore spot for a lot of people.
The bad news is we didn't do the bridge. The bad news is we're going to have to deal with congestion.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the only good news is we did do a lot of work. We looked at over 1,000 suggestions. We really did a huge outreach. What do you suggest we do about this? Well, we've ended up with about 17 proposals. Some of them are very expensive and probably won't get done in the near future. Some of them had been on the books for a number of years, like Marine Drive, mm-hmm. which may not get done right away. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that does in the budget cycle. And then others are maybe kind of common sense and maybe more informational. One of them is to get rid of a crosswalk on Front Street that kind of obstructs movement of traffic on Court Street trying to get on to the trying to get on to the bridge during the evening rush hour.
Oh, I know exactly where
you're
talking
about. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Somebody will be walking across and you can't take the turn and they piling up back to Church Street, mm-hmm. you know? There also is a proposal there to include, and this one, it's one of those good news, bad news situations, signs that tell you how many minutes to your destination.
I don't want that.
To me, that seems like rubbing salt in the wound of I'm stuck there and you're going to tell me how much longer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'd rather they spent that money on paving the road. Pave it.
Yeah.
Don't put a sign on, tell me how long I got to sit on it.
I did my suggestions. I had zip line across
zip line.
And trebuchet. Were those seriously
the
considered?
The trebuchet was seriously considered. The zip line was thought of as too dangerous.
Okay. No, well, I tried.
That's entertainment right there.
At least add a little fun to your sitting in traffic.
Something, yeah. I think part of it is the sense that people need to be informed and that there may be some alternatives for them. Now, I got caught over there when, remember the hay truck spilled underneath the bridge?
Okay. Yep.
I was coming back from kind of out on Brush College Road, mm-hmm. and I could see there was a problem developing. So I turned around and went back to the ferry, thinking I'll cross at Wheatland Ferry. Well, apparently everyone else is quicker than I am to figure that one out. So it had backed up out to the highway just to get onto the ferry and was clearly going to take a while. So I figured, well, that isn't going to work. So I went out to like Zena Road or one of those mm-hmm. and went across and then came on the Independence Bridge, which I thought was really quite clever. I lost an hour and a half or an hour or something like that. Well, come to find out, one street over was still open, or it really was like Eola and Rosemont were still open, and you could get onto the bridge from there. It's just you couldn't get onto it from Wallace. Well, I didn't quite understand what, because I didn't know a hay truck had spilled.
Right,
I just knew
right.
it was blocked. This would allow us to sign it saying, take alternative route X.
Which would be helpful.
Which would be helpful. Mm-hmm. Would allow you to make at least to continue your journey and not be trapped sitting in traffic.
What about, here's a suggestion. Maybe the city, say one side gets blocked with a hay truck.
Yeah.
All right. So then you divert traffic to make it two ways on the other side.
The problem with that, and we've looked at that, mm-hmm. Is there are not on-off ramps. I mean, once you're on to the, say, the Center Street Bridge, you're on the Center Street Bridge all the way out, and there's no way out. See, there isn't a way to exit those, and that's one of the problems.
They should make a crossover after the bridges. Make
but
a crossover.
It's not there.
No, yeah. Then build one.
How
easy that sounds.
Yeah, and it's cheap, isn't it? Yeah,
it is cheap.
Yeah, well, we'll come around
fix.
And we'll be passing the hat on that one.
So would these warning or, you know, take an alternate route signs be far enough back in the route so somebody could make that determination quickly? Because there's not a whole lot of alternatives if you find yourself in that predicament.
Right. Yeah, and that would be the kind of discussion we'd have. And I'm messing with you.
I know you are.
Idea. I will certainly pass that along. I know they have looked at it, but I think it makes sense that we do at some point need to make sure we can quickly transition the Center Street Bridge to a two-way. That's in case of earthquake.
Yeah.
Or emergency.
And we have other proposals floating around out there in case of earthquake and losing those bridges. And that's a pontoon bridge. There's people talking pontoon bridges. There's people talking about bridges up at Wheatland Ferry and all this stuff. And at that point, we're back to we needed some congestion relief because we'd be 10 to 20 years away from that.
Right.
Kind
Easy.
Of an
so this was supposed to be in tandem with moving forward on the bridge?
Well, it could have been.
It could have been.
Could have been both.
Would have been sort of a two-prong attack on the issue.
Yeah,
on the problem.
Is deal with some of these short-term congestion issues. That's what I was hoping.
Right.
But now it becomes we're going to be dealing with a longer-term problem, at least at this point. Yeah. At least at this point. I never say die on any issue.
No, no, and nor should you. It's just it's frustrating from the perspective of individuals who were hoping that it would move forward. But again, you know, local elections matter. You've got to pay attention to these things coming down the pike. And this has been a long time in the making as well.
This really has. So, but I think as we begin to talk about these, we'll have more information go out. The one that I think will be quite controversial in the budget cycle will be what to do about Marine Drive.
Yeah.
Marine Drive has been on the books for years and has been a priority in the transportation system plan and other documents that look at this as a congestion reliever for Wallace Road, for getting in around downtown West Salem.
Yeah.
It's been long enough that there is about a third as much of enough money to do what was talked about then as can be done now. So right now we're looking at a very short roadway if they were to actually build a piece of Marine Drive. So the other question is, instead of building a small piece, a few blocks of Marine Drive, should the $3.5 million or whatever be used to buy the right-of-way for Marine Drive, essentially from the park all the way out Glen Creek, all the way out to River Bend.
So what's your sense on the success
of
that?
I don't know which way it'll go, because if you buy the right-of-way, what you got is some right-of-way, and you still don't have a street.
At least you got a right-of-way.
Yeah, you've got that part.
Time to go four-wheeling, Mayor.
Yeah, well, what comes behind that is there's a group that really wants a bicycle trail. So,
sure.
Of course.
Yeah. You can put a bicycle trail on the side of it.
Well, you can do both. Sure.
We can do both. We can do both. Salem Mayor Chuck Bennett, hey, thank you so much.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Did you have more that you wanted to stay for, or do you want to go ahead and go?
No, I'm fine, unless you want me to stay. Either way, I'm fine.
Do you want him to stay, Denise?
I haven't seen him in ages.
All right.
Sure, I'll stay for a few more minutes.
Okay. We'll take a quick break. This is Newsmakers. I'm Dave Born in with Denise Nanke, in for Brent DeHart and Salem Mayor Chuck Bennett on Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem. Welcome back. I'm Dave Bourne. Brent DeHart, he's off today, so Denise Nanke is sitting in for him. Welcome back, Denise. And sorry, I got to turn on your microphones. Sorry about that, Denise.
Just saying how good it is to be here.
I appreciate it.
Feels
that.
Great.
Yeah. Welcome great. Back.
Thank you.
Salem Mayor Chuck Bennett decided to stay with us for another segment here.
Well, Dave, and Denise, of course, I didn't want to miss out on the opportunity in advance of April Fool's Day to remind people the plastic bag ordinance goes into effect here.
One of my favorite issues.
Yeah.
This is a thorn.
it goes into effect on April 1st.
Oh, that's April Fool's Day. Yeah,
of course.
Right.
That's what I was saying. It's just part of
apropos.
The... Oh, Salem at your service.
Use my outside face.
but beginning April 1st, I want to kind of run through this because I think everybody knows this is going to be underway.
I don't know, maybe not.
Well, we'll kind of fill them in. Yeah. Large retailers, stores larger than 10,000 square feet, so it's a fairly good size store, These are no longer going to be handing out plastic carry-out bags at checkout in order to help protect the environment, animal and human health, and to reduce litter. All other retails have until September 1st, 2019 to do it. All retail businesses, including grocery and convenience stores, apparel, department stores, local markets, are going to be impacted. Now, I kind of like that. I'm going to be impacted.
Yeah, you will. No,
yeah.
Just to clarify, this is just in the city limits of Salem.
That's correct. That's correct.
Because I'm seeing lots of people going, well, I'm going to get to know my Kaiser whatever store.
I think
store.
You will until the legislature passes their plastic bag ban.
Right.
So, you know, you may want to come to Salem. I'm just going to suggest this to you people from Kaiser.
Uh-huh.
Come on down to Salem and practice because you're going to be doing this too. Nobody's going to walk away from
the plastic. I have to say, I think it's sadly inevitable.
I think it is too. I really do. So, what the heck? Why not get ahead of the crowd, have a real clear understanding so you're not holding up the store line at the Kaiser store when I'm behind you or Dave's
because
behind
you. Because you just don't know what to do.
Because you don't know what to do.
And do you smell that? I smell a lot of sarcasm there.
I'm just trying to be helpful.
Okay.
Here. I'm here to serve.
I do know a lot of people who are going to an online retailer who shall not be named and are buying plastic bags in bulk because they're about a penny and bringing their own to save themselves that nickel for the paper bag.
I would too.
Well,
people will find a way to work around these things.
I think you hit one of the really difficult issues in this on the head. Retailers can, though, provide recyclable paper bags, and they have to charge a fee of not less than 5 cents for the paper bag.
They have to charge a fee.
It's in the ordinance.
A recycled paper
bag. It was so
strong that you could feel it.
That was the proposal from the grocery stores.
Oh.
They thought that was probably the fairest way to do it so nobody'd be ahead of the game.
Uh-huh.
So everybody, all stores have to charge a nickel for the paper bag so nobody can have a competitive.
Except that they don't charge for them now and they're still available now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll just let that kind of hang out there in the air.
This is all going to become clearer. That's why, again, I'm saying come practice in Salem.
I'm bringing my
your
own
real
bags.
Chance to,
well,
real
I'm sure glad you stuck around for another segment to make it clearer.
I want to make it clearer. Restaurants and prepared food providers can still distribute plastic carryout bags.
And styrofoam.
Oh, yeah.
The clamshells.
The clamshells didn't get affected.
Amazing.
I thought that was really interesting. But, you know, you could start writing the story now probably on the future of clamshells in Salem.
But we did.
Their days are numbered.
I think their days
are numbered.
Those clamshells. Anyway.
They should be looking over their shoulder big time.
I would suggest, though, if you really want to understand this, rather than have me try to explain it, all I know is what the real suggestion is, you know, every organization now is giving out those kind of carry your own bags. Good time to have those. I know we've stocked up on them over the years because it was like everything you went to, somebody was pushing a bag on you.
Right.
We got enough bags now probably to survive.
Head to an expo and near you and grab a few of those.
Everybody is getting their logos imprinted on them for swag. And so it's a thing.
It's going to be a thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be kind of exciting to see. I think we'll have a bag contest at some point.
Will we?
Oh, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
let's
we'll
make this
that.
Fun.
Yeah, why
sure.
not?
A Salem bag.
But if you want... If you want more information, I really suggest going to the City of Salem website, which is cityofsalem.net. City of Salem is one word. And look it up. There's an FAQ of frequently asked questions, a lot more detailed information. And again, if you're in Kaiser, here's your chance to just get ahead of the game.
Jeez.
This is the future.
Making lemonade.
Let's make some
lemonade. I have to say the City of Salem has been good on social media as well. There's an infographic that's been making its way around out there. So happy April Fool's Day.
Yep. I think it's going to be real exciting, and I think people will find they can adapt. I know I grew up in a paper bag environment.
Yep. Well, I remember when we had to get rid of the paper bags because they were killing the trees, so the plastic bags came
in
as an alternative. We'll go for full circle again.
Yeah.
It's kind of like waiting for Harvest Gold countertops to come back into fashion, so you leave them there.
That's right.
They will come back into fashion.
Well, I'm old enough to be adaptable, and I'm hoping others... Yeah, I'm hoping others will kind of rise to the occasion.
That's
and become
awfully
adaptable.
Brave of you,
so I'm
Mayor.
I'm a brave guy.
I hear that as a call to action for the citizens of Salem to...
to get out your paper bag or your
and put a smile on your face and just
I'm just surprised that the environmentalists are not upset about that, going back to the paper bags, because that's more trees.
It's not about the environment.
It's not.
No.
Oh, well, yes, yeah. It is. It's about the animals, the environment. I've just read it.
Yeah, but wait a minute.
You guys are not listening.
No, we are listening. This is the problem. We are listening.
Well, let me know how it goes for you.
Okay.
I'm sure I'll be report, back with you.
Maybe I can come on, you know, if Brent has to be gone, we can come back on. We can revisit this, you know, on like May 1st.
Yeah, in April,
see how it's going.
Done the big
check in with
shop.
Each other.
Yeah, when the... You've just bought the mustache, all that food.
Right.
Right.
You've done it all in paper bags. Let's hear how it went.
Okay.
I think
we should regroup and come back to that.
Yeah, I think people are going to be real interested in whether or not we all can adapt and make this work.
Wait.
And do it with a smile on our face.
Sure. Has the city of Portland adapted? Because I don't go to Portland anymore because of that.
Really? Is that the only reason?
No, that's not,
that's not the only reason.
I didn't think so.
See, the paper bags, the traffic, the paper straws.
People will adapt.
Oh, paper straws. I do think.
Oh, please, no.
No, I think the plastic straw ban is coming.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All of these things are coming.
Don't make me carry my own.
Your own straw?
Yes.
I actually got some silicone ones as part of a gag gift for Christmas.
Yes.
I do have reusable straws.
Well, there's these ones that kind of look like metal that I thought were kind of cool.
Those are good.
Now, that's swag.
That's good.
That's nice stuff.
But I bet you couldn't take that on a plane if you were traveling somewhere. That's kind of weapony.
It is kind of weapony, isn't it?
It's
kind of
crazy.
But anyway, it's, there's a lot of those kinds of changes coming. But I think...
Why? The city,
summer's coming, too. Let's just stop here for a minute. Sun's out today. Summer's coming. The changes what we live for. Right?
Mayor, the council is not elected to do these things. Why are they doing these things? Paper bags?
They are. No,
straws? That is not in their realm of specialty.
Actually, it is. As people run their campaigns and talk about the issues important to them, these issues are talked about.
But this is not how... I didn't elect him for that. Did you?
No.
Yes, exactly.
That's a big conversation.
I know.
As far as, you know,
an
incremental kind of personal liberties going away, and you look back behind you and realize, oh my gosh, I have a lot less freedom.
Mayor,
elections have consequences.
They do.
And so,
yeah.
The city council's responsibilities are for the city and running the city, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So why do they think the realm of plastic bags, straws, and other things like that are in their realm?
Well, I think because they have talked with their constituents, and a substantial number of their constituents who've talked to them and said, you know what's important to me and I'd like to see plastic bags. I'd like to see plastics brought under control. It's polluting our environment. And they're responding to that concern. And, you know, there are other concerns that other folks have, and I think you just have to be sure that you make yourself very, very clear. I had no one, I'll tell you, when I've run for office, not one person has said to me, don't ban plastic bags. I've had a lot of people say, please ban plastic bags.
Hmm.
So it's interesting what public officials hear.
Right.
And I just want to kind of put in a good word for Denise's analysis, which is elections matter.
Mm-hmm. They do.
They do. And, you know, the old saying, government belongs to those who show up.
Yeah.
You see that with issues constantly. The people that show up are the ones that move policy.
That's right.
If you don't show up and engage, this is what happens.
You get.
Exactly.
Well, April 1st, what you get is you don't have to mess with those darn plastic bags. You know, hold them up to the light, see if it's got holes in it so it won't drip across the carpet. I mean, we're going to be to a whole new era.
You know, you're on the lemonade cleaner track, and I appreciate that about you, trying to find the upside and the positive side to this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly appreciate you stopping by with your updates every Tuesday.
Well, thank you. I just love coming by.
Salem Mayor Chuck Bennett, thank you so much. And Denise Nanke is co-hosting today for Brent. I'm Dave Bourne. We'll be back in a moment on Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. I'm Dave Bourne. Brent DeHart is out today. Denise Nanke is co-hosting with me today. And welcome back.
Oh, thank you. So good to be here.
Yeah. And the hour is just literally flying by.
Goodbye.
You can never anticipate how long it's going to take. And thanks again to the mayor.
Yes.
He was understanding today.
He's a delight.
I was not trying to give him such a hard time. But sometimes I just don't understand what the city council
Liberty tends to get people passionate.
I'm telling you,
losing
this is
liberty.
Crazy. joining us on the phone now is Cindy Goff. She's the chapter leader of K-Town Chicks.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Hi, Cindy.
Hi. I've got Robin McKillop here also.
All right. She's a member as well as the chapter leader of the online Rebel Chicks.
Ooh.
So tell me what this is all about and what is Chicks Connect?
Okay, well, Chicks Connect is a mastermind support network, and we're dedicated to connecting members locally and globally. We're guiding them into action, holding them accountable for personal and professional growth and development, all built on a foundation of love, fun, friendship, service, and support.
And who are you guys supporting? I mean...
Well, when we say support, we're supporting each other, and we are also, each chapter dedicates themselves to a charity of their choice, and we have supported the Home Youth and Resource Center and Taylor House for the last 3 years here in Salem, and what we do is we fundraise for them. For example, we actually raised enough money last year through a rummage sale, and we were able to purchase a stackable washer and dryer for their new facility, their overnight facility.
Nice.
And we were able to convince a local merchant in Kaiser, Kaiser Appliance, they matched our donation. So... It's just, you know, we give from the heart, but we also support each other, you know, in everything we do. And it's just a fabulous network of women and a few men, too.
So nice. The local chapters are supporting these things. What is the Home Youth and Resource Center and Taylor House? What are those?
Well, what those are is it's part of the agency called Community Action. And it is a nonprofit. So they work through grants, donations, fundraising like we do, and it provides support and a place for at-risk and homeless teens in our area. That includes Marion and Polk County. The kids can come to the day facility that is open from noon until 7 every day. They can get meals there, 2 meals a day, snacks, help with homework. There's computers there for them to use. They have a closet for, you know, for clothing. Just they get the support that they need that they're not really getting at home, basically. And many of them do not have a home to go to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So in the last few months, this organization has also opened an overnight facility called Taylor House. It houses up to 13 teens at one time, and they can stay there for up to a month, and just to get, you know, better footing and land on their feet, I guess.
All right. So now you guys meet weekly, bi-monthly, as well as online, and you have something coming up April 25th through the 27th. What is that?
Yes, this is Robin, and we've got the Chicks Connect Inspiration Celebration on April 25th to 27th in Turner, Oregon. And the Chicks Connect Inspiration Celebration is a conference for members and non-members who want to build their businesses, find support within the community, and just have a really great time.
And who's going to be there, and how much does it cost, and how do you get involved?
So the best way to get involved is just to contact me at my phone number, 503-930-0529. People can leave a voicemail or text. I'll get right back to you. The people involved, we've got, I think, 400 Chicks Connect members across the United States, and usually we get about 100 of them at this conference, and it's open to other people. The cost is $499 for a two-day event. And then there is a power hour on Thursday evening, and that is only $20, and that, again, is open to everybody.
And what time is that power hour?
That'll be at 5:30 p.m. on Thursday evening, April 24th.
So Robin, you've got women coming in from all across the country coming into Turner, Oregon for this event?
We do. Isn't
wow.
that amazing?
That's fantastic. Now, do you have a website or something in case somebody didn't get the phone call? Do you have a web presence or a Facebook event or anything like that?
Yes. Go to chicksconnect.com and look under events up in the top menu.
Hmm. All right. And again, the phone number to contact you again was what?
503-930-0529.
Okay. Now, if somebody didn't want to go to the power hour or to this event, how can they donate to help for the other things that you were supporting, like the Taylor House and the Home Youth and Resource Center?
Oh, that would just be awesome to have that extra support. I would say that why don't you go ahead and contact me for that part of it. This is Cindy again, mm-hmm. and my phone number is 503-871-8223.
Once again.
503-871-8223.
All right. Well, ladies, you have a plethora of information there. Hopefully people can find out more information at your chicksconnect.com.
Best of luck to you chicks.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're
really
welcome.
Appreciate it.
And hey. Anything else you want to toss in there real quick? We have like a minute left.
Well, yes. The founder of Chicks Connect is a native Oregonian, Jules Muller.
Uh-huh.
She lives in an RV, travels all over the country, hence we've got Chicks members all over the country. And she's a pretty amazing human being, and she's worth the price of admission.
She's one of your
and
keynotes?
Of course,
okay.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
She's one of your keynotes? I'm assuming she's speaking.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we will have a couple other speakers. We'll have 15 breakout sessions. It's a packed event. Lots to take away for social, business, personal. It's a really fun event, and I hope that people will go check out chicksconnect.com under events and come on and join us.
It sounds like a great opportunity for women and wanting to connect with each other in our area and then also meeting other women from across the country. What a great opportunity.
Yes, absolutely.
Cindy Goff and Robin McKillop, thank you so much from Chicks Connect.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good luck.
All right. I'm Dave Bourne, and she is Denise
yes.
Nanke. Thank you for coming and coast.
Thanks for having
today.
Me.
It's kind of hard to do the show all by yourself.
I bet. It's easier to have someone to bounce things off of, so I appreciate being here.
Yeah, well, I like bouncing things off you. I appreciate that. And thanks again to Salem Mayor Chuck Bennett for joining us today. This is Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening. See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.